So, we'll sing prayers to spiritual master, to Srila Prabhupada. That's page number 15. Page 15, please.
వందే గురు శ్రీ చరణారవిందం, వందే గురు శ్రీ చరణారవిందం.
ആചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ അഭയ ചരണാരവിന്ദ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത ഗോസ്വാമി മഹർഷിയുടെ പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് ജയം. നിത്യലീലാ പ്രവിഷ്ടോം വിഷ്ണുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ ഭക്തസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതി മഹർഷിയുടെ പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് അനന്തകോടി വൈഷ്ണവ വൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് നാമാചാര്യ ശ്രീ ഹരിദാസ് ഠാക്കൂർക്ക് പ്രേം സഹോ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗരഭക്ത വൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ശ്രീ ശ്രീ രാധാ കൃഷ്ണ ഗോപ ഗോപിനാഥ ശ്യാമകുണ്ട് രാധാകുണ്ട് ഗിരി ഗോവർദ്ധാനിക്ക് വൃന്ദാവൻ ധാമക്ക് മായപ്പൂർ ധാമക്ക് മധുരപുരി ധാമക്ക് ജഗന്നാഥ്പുരി ധാമക്ക് ലിംഗമായിക്ക് യമുനമായിക്ക് തുളസിദേവിക്ക് ഭക്തിദേവിക്ക് സമവേദ ഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ഗൗപേമനന്ദി ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ദി അസംബ്ലി ബോഡി ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ദി അസംബ്ലി ബോഡി ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ദി അസംബ്ലി ബോഡി ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ശ്രീ ശ്രീ ഗുരുവൻ ശ്രീ ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ശ്രീല പ്രഭുപാത്മമാംശുഭദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലെ ശ്രീ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമി നാമിനി നമസ്തേ സരസ്വദേവം ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരണേ നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യദേശധാരണേ. ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ. ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ. ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ. ഓം അജ്ഞാനതിമിരാന്ധസ്യ ജ്ഞാനാഞ്ജനശലാകയ ചക്ഷുരുന്മിളിതം യേന തസ്മൈ ശ്രീഗുരവേ നമഃ. ശ്രീചൈതന്യമനോഭീഷ്ടാം സ്ഥാപിതാം യേന ഭൂതലെ സ്വയം രൂപകദാ മഹ്യം ദദാതിം സുപദാന്തികം. വന്ദേഹം ശ്രീഗുരു ശ്രീയുതാപദകമലം ശ്രീഗുരും വൈഷ്ണവാംശ്ച ശ്രീരൂപം സാഗ്രജാതം സഹഗണരഘുനാഥാന്വിതം തം സജീവം സാദ്വൈതം സാവധൂതം పరిజనా సహితం కృష్ణ చైతన్య దేవం శ్రీరాధా కృష్ణ పదాం సహగణ లలితాం శ్రీ విశాఖాన్వితాంశ. హే కృష్ణ కరుణా సింధు దీనబంధు జగల్పదే గోపేశ గోపికా కాంద రాధా కాంద నమోస్తుతే. తప్త కాంచన గౌరాంగి రాధే వృందావనేశ్వరి వృషభానుసుదే దేవి ప్రణమామి హరిప్రియే. వంశకల్పతరుభ్యశ్చ కృపాసింధుభ్యైవ చ పతితానాం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః. శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభో నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్తవృంద. హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరే, హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే, హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరే, హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే, హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరే, హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే. ఓం పార్థాయ ప్రతిబోధితం భగవదం నారాయణేన స్వయం వ్యాసేన గ్రథితం పురాణమునినం మధ్యే మహాభారతం అద్వైతామృతవర్షిణిం భగవతిం అష్టాదశాధ్యాయినిం అంబ త్వామనుసంధదామి భగవద్గీతే భవద్వేషిణిం. నమోస్తుతే వ్యాస విశాల బుద్ధే ఫుల్లారవిందాయత పత్రనేత్ర ఏన త్వయా భారత తైలపూర్ణ ప్రజ్వాలితో జ్ఞానమయ ప్రదీపం. ప్రపన్న పారిజాతాయ స్తోత్రవేత్రైకబాణయే జ్ఞానముద్రాయ కృష్ణాయ గీతామృతదుహే నమః. సర్వోపనిషదో గావో దుగ్ధా గోపాలనందన పార్థో వల్స సుధీర్భోక్త దుగ్ధం గీతామృతం మహల్. వసుదేవసుదం దేవం కంసజానూరమర్దనం దేవగీ పరమానందం కృష్ణం వందే జగద్గురుం. భీష్మద్రోణతడాజయధ్రతజల గాంధార నీలోల్పల శల్యగ్రాహవతి కృపేణ వహని కర్ణేన వేలాకులాం. అశ్వత్థామా వికర్ణఘోరమఖర దుర్యోధనావర్తిని సోత్తీర్ణ ఖలు పాండవైరణనది కైవర్తక కేశవాం. పారాశర్యవజ సరోజమమలం గీతార్థగంధోల్కటం నానాఖ్యానగకేసరం హరికథా సంబోధనాభోదితం. లోకై సజ్జనషల్పదైరహనః పేబీయమానం ముదా భూయాద్ భారత పంగజకలిమల ప్రధ్వంసిన శ్రేయసే. మూఖం కరోతి వాచాలం పంగుం లంఘయదే గిరిం యల్ కృపాతమహం వందే పరమానందమాధవం. యబ్రహ్మ వరుణేంద్రరుద్రమరుదస్త్వన్వంది దివ్యైస్తవే వేదై సాంగమదై క్రమోపనిషదేర్గాయందియం సమగాః. ధ్యానావస్థిత తద్గదేన మనసా పశ్యందియం యోగినో యస్యాందం న విదుసురాసురగణై దేవాయ తస్మై నమః. ఓం శ్రీకృష్ణాయ నమః శ్రీమతి ఆదియాయే నమః. సర్వత్ర గోవింద నామ సంకీర్తనం గోవింద గోవింద. Discussing from Bhagavad Gita, as we spoke last Sunday, that Bhagavad Gita is a difficult book, a difficult literature sometimes to completely understand, but still Krishna has given us the knowledge of the Upanishads condensed in Bhagavad Gita, and he presented to us in the battlefield of Kurukshetra, keeping Arjuna in the forefront, but with the goal that the human society may get benefited from that. That was the purpose behind it. So, if you see this picture of Krishna driving the chariot of Arjuna, this picture alone represents a lot of Bhagavad Gita there, in the sense that many things what is discussed in Bhagavad Gita has a relationship with all of us. It is not like sometimes historians study Bhagavad Gita with the intention to understand the historical background of Bhagavad Gita. The devotees sometimes also accept that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And in that mood they worship Supreme Lord Krishna through Bhagavad Gita. And the great acharyas, they have found the knowledge in Bhagavad Gita is such a high level of spiritual understanding that the whole knowledge is in the Upanishads is condensed and summarized or passed through to the whole world by Krishna. And this picture virtually represents that whole scene of Bhagavad Gita. As you know that in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita we spoke about this one point, that Arjuna approached Krishna and asked him to instruct him take him in the right direction. As we know from the first chapter, Arjuna Vishada Yoga Nama, that's where Arjuna talked about that. Arjuna says to Krishna that Karpanya dosha bhakrata swabhava, because of his particular situation mind, prachami tvam dharma samoda chedaha, that he did not know what was his dharma. In other words, he was confused in his own mind about his future. And it is then that Arjuna surrenders to Krishna and told him, Shishyasteham shadhi mam tuam pravennam, said, I surrender unto you, I am your disciple, please instruct me what I should do. Arjuna has asked Krishna like that. And at least Arjuna had the open-mindedness to ask Krishna like that, that he was very open about it, that I am confused, I need some direction. So like that, from there on, if you look at it, you will always notice this thing, that Bhagavad Gita reflects the reality of this world. Sometimes in spiritual life, we also take it that we know what we used to do. But that is not the process. Just like Arjuna asked Krishna to instruct him, what should I do in spiritual life? Or what is my duty? This was Arjuna's question. And Krishna, from the remaining 17 chapters, instructed Arjuna the path of spiritual life that you can see in the Bhagavad Gita. Now, there are many questions which comes up along with each chapter in Bhagavad Gita. So now and then, we have to go back to Bhagavad Gita, the previous chapters, what we discussed, and sometimes we have to clear certain doubts in our mind, because the topic that is discussed in Bhagavad Gita is a very, very gahanam. Gahanam means it's a very deep subject. And in order to understand that, so many commentaries have been written about it. Great acharyas have commented on that. And among these, accepted as one of the three, Prasthanatrayam as it's called, the three different books on which they are commented. Acharya Swamiji commented on Bhagavad Gita, Brahma Sutram, and the major 10 Upanishads, the Shobanishads as it's called. So, successively, other Acharyas also followed the same route. So you can understand how important Bhagavad Gita is as far as spiritual knowledge is concerned. And for one who has come to spiritual life, he has to leave behind all the other practices what he had in his life, ritualistic or any other knowledge that has come through grandmother or grandfather or father or mother, whatever that is. All that has to be left behind. And one has to take to Krishna's instructions seriously and understand what Krishna is trying to tell us about spiritual life. So, in the beginning itself, what did Krishna say? Krishna says to Arjuna that one simple statement, Ashochyananyashojastvam prajñāvādāmscha bhāṣase gadāsūna gadāsumscha nāneśochandi pandidāḥ. One verse was enough to make Arjuna realize what his real position is. What is that? Krishna says to Arjuna, two things don't go together very well. What is that? One, posing like a pandita, and the other side, lamenting like a shudra. Or in other words, lamenting like an ordinary mundane person. These things don't go together very well. If you are a pandita, Krishna says, this lamentation has no meaning. In other words, you are not a pandita. That is Apandita means a learned person. So Gadasuna Gadasamscha Nanisho Chandi Panditaha. One does not lament in life if one is learned. If one is properly learned, in other words, as far as Krishna is concerned, if one has the proper realizations in spiritual life, there is no question. He is learned. And he does not lament neither for the living nor for the dead. This was the first point Krishna wanted to get it across to Arjuna. Now that Arjuna was lamenting about Bhishma, about Drona, about so many others, killing his own kinsmen and the family members, and lamenting about various other things in this world, which was not worthy of grief. This was the point what Krishna was trying to get through to Arjuna. So, if you are a Pandita, Krishna says, you do not lament. But since you are lamenting, I have to take it that you are not a Pandita. You are not learned. But you, at the same time, you are posing like a Pandita. You are acting as though you are highly learned and you are instructing me what is the right thing to do. So Arjuna, after hearing this first verse itself, Arjuna's false ego had come down a little bit. At least Krishna has been very open with him to tell him that this is not going to go. This is not going to happen. So continuously you notice in the second chapter that Krishna has spoken very, very strongly about certain things. That is what we have to stress this point again and again, because we lack this realization from the second chapter. That is why we get confused in life. All our confusion and crisis in life is only because these verses of Krishna in the second chapter has not deeply penetrated into our own consciousness. That is where it is coming from. That if we have accepted Krishna's authority and Krishna's knowledge, it can be proved also with the help of the knowledge what Krishna has delivered through the second chapter. And you will notice as he continued from the instructions to Krishna, to Arjuna, Krishna spoke there, Jadasya hidruvo mrityu, dhruvam janma madasya ja, tasmad abarihariyate natvam shojidum arhasi. You will find a lot of instructions there where Krishna is saying to Arjuna, there is no need for any lamentation. Why is this lamentation? Because you are not properly situated. Your consciousness is not properly situated. So eventually, Krishna says, closes that discussion where he instructed Arjuna in the Sankhya Yoga. Sankhya is nothing but Jnanam. The Jnana Yoga in a different way. Slight differences are there. So when Krishna instructed, eventually he told Arjuna, that this thing called soul I am talking to you about, even though I have tried to present it from different angles, still it is one of the greatest surprises in this world, this thing called soul. What is soul and the presence of the soul in the body? This is the only topic that is being discussed by the scientists through all their researches, to find out what is the truth behind it, isn't it? All this big research is going on to understand what is the truth in life. And Krishna concluded that discussion with one very important verse. What did he say? Asharidyaval pashyadi kashchidenam. That this thing called the soul is the greatest amazing thing in this creation. What is soul? Soul is nothing but Krishna's part and parcel. Consciousness. Consciousness is that. Presence of the soul in the body is felt by consciousness. And if that consciousness, if one does not understand where it's coming from, the material body made of 5 material elements, mind, intelligence and false ego, has no value so long as the spirit soul is inside the body. So Krishna is saying there in that verse that Ascharya Valpashyadi, some people are hearing, seeing this soul as the most wonderful and amazing things in this creation. That's how he said, Krishna says. And Krishna was absolutely right, because that thing what 5,000 years ago Krishna has spoken is relevant even today. Is it not? Even today, people are searching after the same thing. Search has not come to an end, has it? It has not come to an end, because if the search has come to an end, we would have all known the results by now. But the fact that no results have come yet, and they are still searching, but Krishna is saying, Ascharya Valpashyadi, they are amazed by seeing the nature of the soul. They are not able to understand. And then Krishna says, not only Pashyadi, Ascharya Valvadadi, they also talk about this in the most amazing way, because they don't understand it, what it means. What the soul means, presence of the soul in the body. If you read Srimad Bhagavatam and also in the Bhagavad Gita, you will see how this science of the soul has been discussed in such a depth. that those who want to understand the science of the soul, they have no other way except to take shelter of Bhagavad Gita as well as Srimad Bhagavatam. It is the science what is discussed in the Bhagavad Gita has been experimented by devotees at different times, and their research and their result, the result of their research is Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam is the result of their research. They have already got the answer, and Vedavyasa Maharshi, out of his compassion for the living entities of this conditioned world, of the Kali Yuga, he has translated, put them in this great literatures and presented to us. So here you will notice Asharyaval Pashyari and then Asharyaval Vadadi. They talk about the soul in the same way. And not only that, Krishna says also Asharyaval Shrinvati. Then they hear about soul so much. Then what does Krishna say? Although they hear and they talk about it and they see these things, still ultimately nobody understands the soul. Krishna says there. So from there you can understand that Krishna is talking about a subject which is a very, very difficult topic for ordinary people to easily accept it, because of the absorption in the body and so much close identification with the material body that they do not know, they do not understand the presence of the soul in the body. So Krishna spoke all these things, and in spite of that, this knowledge hasn't gone in to even the so-called intellectuals of this world. They could not accept it, this Bhagavad Gita. But there were great personalities who have accepted Bhagavad Gita and Krishna's instructions completely, and they have experimented it in their own life, and they have realized how true what Krishna was saying was. So those who want to go in that route, the opportunity is still there. The knowledge is there and the opportunity is there. But what is required is that faith, the Shraddha. Shraddha in Krishna's instructions. Today, if we look at it this way, that the people who go into the process of research work, they continue to research to find out, because they have not accepted the presence of the soul in the body nor the process of Krishna consciousness. Because they have not accepted it, they have to continue looking for that truth. Everyone is looking for the truth. And till they find the truth, they have to keep on researching. But not that everyone in the history was not accepting what Krishna has spoken. There are many, many personalities who accepted what Krishna has spoken. They have not only accepted, they have followed that process. They have found that the process is right, and they have confirmed it in their conclusions or in their realizations. And that is what is in the Srimad Bhagavatam. You can find that in the Srimad Bhagavatam in many, many instances. This is why when you study Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam together, you will get to know that how the science of the soul is absolute and it's so perfect that there is no question of doubting the words of Krishna. And Krishna says there that this knowledge, what I have spoken to you, to Arjuna, Krishna says it's a confidential thing. It's only understood when one surrenders to Krishna, when one understands Krishna's authority. When one doubts that and try to analyze this knowledge through their mundane senses and intelligence, they would not understand Bhagavad Gita. So that was the conclusion in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita. And Krishna has spoken there that the... that this... experiment what Arjuna has, this experiment what devotees have done in the past, there are numerous examples in the Bhagavatam for that. Who is the best example? If you look at Srimad Bhagavatam, the finest example is a child who is 5 years old, Dhruva Maharaj. Dhruva Maharaj went to the forest. While going to the forest, his intention was not, he was not looking for the absolute truth. All he wanted was, he felt insulted or offended by his stepmother Suriji, and he wanted immediately a solution to the problem. And being a Kshatriya king, that strength in him, that ability to deal with it strongly, he exhibited that, and he decided to go to the forest. As you know in the Bhagavatam, this story in the fourth canto of Dhruva Maharaj, Dhruva Charitam, is very famous. But what's inspiring there is, that interesting there is, when Dhruva Maharaj went to the forest, he hasn't had a clue what he actually had to do. He was 5 years old, and same time, Krishna, seeing Dhruva Maharaj's determination, decided to send Narada Maharshi to instruct him properly, to instruct Dhruva Maharaj in spiritual life. So Sri Narada Maharshi came to see Dhruva Maharaj in the forest, and there is a conversation between Dhruva Maharaj and Sri Narada Maharshi. Narada Maharshi asked Dhruva Maharaj what was the purpose of coming to the forest, knowing very well that he was the son of King Uttanapada, and being a prince, he had no need to go to the forest, rather he should be comfortable at home. Dhruva Maharaj says to him that my mother has told me that if I have to sit in my father's lap, I have to go and worship Krishna, and he is in the forest. So I have come to looking for him, he says. Sri Narada Maharshi felt very happy to instruct Dhruva Maharaj, because Narada Maharshi had a similar experience in his own life, isn't it? If you remember, in the first canto we discussed this. As a little boy of the same age like Dhruva Maharaj, Sri Narada Maharshi went in the forest looking for Krishna. So when he got a disciple like himself at this time, Narada Maharshi was very pleased with this new disciple he has got, 5 year old, and it reminded him of his own trip to the forest after the sages left the palace on the Chaturmasyam. So Sri Narada Maharshi was very pleased to instruct Dhruva Maharaj, tried to encourage him to go back to the palace. Dhruva Maharaj was very firm in his decision, and he said to Narada Maharshi, there is no question of going back. If you want to tell me where I can find him, what I should do, please do so. If not, stay away from my way. This is what Dhruva Maharaj told Narada Maharshi. Sri Narada Maharshi was really feeling ecstatic to instruct Dhruva Maharaj, and he says to Dhruva Maharaj like this, that the mantra to chant, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, he gave the upadesham to Dhruva Maharaj, the place where to sit, and what form to meditate upon, everything. Everything was instructed by Sri Narada Maharshi to Dhruva Maharaj. And Dhruva Maharaj became, that is how he got the instructions from Sri Narada Maharshi. And when one is instructed by Narada Maharshi, there is no question of going back without success in spiritual life. That's a known fact. In throughout Bhagavatam you will find that. So Dhruva Maharaj started his penances in the forest. You can read that in the Srimad Bhagavatam. For 6 months or so he had spent there, many days without first eating only the dry leaves, then water, and then only air, and eventually nothing. That is how his the penances progressed. And by end of 6 months, Dhruva Maharaj became so strong in these austerities and penances that Krishna had to come. Krishna was forced to come to see Dhruva Maharaj. By now, a warm air that was coming from Dhruva Maharaj's body was actually penetrating into the higher planetary systems. And the demigods were experiencing the power of the austerities of Dhruva Maharaj. So they wanted Krishna to come and talk to Dhruva Maharaj about it. So when Krishna came to see Dhruva Maharaj, Dhruva Maharaj was perplexed. He didn't know what to say to Krishna. 5-year-old boy, suddenly Krishna appears in front of him. The whole beauty of Krishna right in front of him. And that very beauty of Krishna was exactly what happened to Narada Muni, happened to Dhruva Maharaj also. Both of them were the same age when they saw Krishna first time, isn't it? Prathama Darshanam, as it's called, the first vision of the Supreme Lord for a devotee, is something very, very special. Because it is during that first vision, a devotee crosses the material life once for all. There is no more Maya after that, after the first vision of Krishna. And that has happened in many, many cases before. And then, even if he comes down, even if he comes from his samadhi back to the material life, still that thoughts will pull him back very quickly back to the spiritual life again. So here what happened was, Dhruva Maharaj saw Krishna and didn't know what to say to him. What to say to him. So Dhruva Maharaj kept looking at Krishna. Krishna also understood the situation. What is this boy going to talk to me? He wanted me to come, I have come now. So with his conch shell, Krishna touched the cheek of Dhruva Maharaj. And with that, what is known as Vaikari has woken up inside his body. In other words, everything in this body functions because of the presence of the soul in the body. Isn't it? That is what we have to remember always, that this body is absolutely useless when there is no soul in the body. When Krishna's part and parcel, the living entity, has to be present there. When he is not there, there is nothing will function. Everything else is dead. The senses, the mind, the intelligence, everything is virtually valueless. This is what we are discussing last Sunday, that the soul inside is keeping all this functioning. You will notice in the Srimad Bhagavatam in the third canto, while Kapila Vasudeva was instructing Devahuti Devi about the Sangha Yogam, exactly the same thing is discussed there, where he mentioned to Devahuti Devi that the spirit soul which is present inside, Salilal Udatishtada, that if the Viral Swarupam, the Viral form of Krishna, when it was created, it could not function. It could not function. The material elements won't work together. They had to be properly coordinated. Panchikaranam, as it's called in the Bhagavatam. And Panchikaranam was performed. And similarly, even then, it will not function. When did it function? That Krishna, who is present in, as Chaitya Guru, entered into it, Salilal Udatishtada, immediately it woke up. The life came into this creation. So, from this you can see that the presence of the soul is the vital thing in this creation. And if we ignore that, there is no point in studying anything else. And that is the reason why all the great acharyas and the sages, they gave the stress and importance to the soul, the study of the soul and related science along with the spirit soul. So here, our Dhruva Maharaj spoke to Krishna that Krishna has given him the knowledge for Dhruva Maharaj to speak. And that is why if you read Dhruva Stuti, Dhruva's glorification of Krishna, immediately you can see this doesn't come from a five-year-old boy. It cannot come from a five-year-old boy. It was Krishna himself entering to Dhruva Maharaj's body and allowing Dhruva Maharaj to speak in such a way, it became so famous. That yonda pravishyam mama vajam imam prasuptam sanjeevayam thagila shakti agira shakti thara sodhamnam anyam hasta jarana shravanatvakadin pranan namo bhagavade purushaya tubhyam. This is how Dhruva Maharaj starts his prayers. Yonda pravishya mama vajam imam prasuptam sanjeevayam thagila shakti thara sodhamnam anyamsha hasta jarana shravanatvakadin Prananamo Bhagavade Purushaya Tubhyam. That very one verse is enough to understand that what was Dhruva Maharaj's realization at that point. Dhruva Maharaj, simply by the virtue of Krishna's presence there, Dhruva Maharaj immediately understood that something has woken up in me and made me to speak like this. He himself came to that realization that Sanjeevayandi Sanjeeva Sanjeevayan Akhila Shakti Dharasudhamnam. Then Dhruva Maharaj confirms there, my hands, my legs, everything is functioning for what? Anya Amsha Hasta Charana Shravanam Togadin Prananamo Bhagavade Purushaya Tubhyam. If pranan is not there, where does it get that energy to function? If Krishna, the spirit soul wasn't functioning, the pranam wasn't there, how can this body function? So my point is that following the process of Bhagavad Gita, what Krishna has explained in these 18 chapters, which was instructed to him by Sri Narada Maharshi, and by following that process, Dhruva Maharaj attained perfection. Dhruva Maharaj understood how this body functions. Bhagavad Gita, unlike all the other scriptures, don't ask the devotee or the person who is following the spiritual path to go outside looking for the truth. The truth is inside and it is there. You have to realize the truth. Prananamo Bhagavade Purushaya Tubhyam. That Dhruva Maharaj's realization is so strong that he didn't go out looking for the Supreme Lord. He found that within himself. As soon as he realized presence of Krishna within himself, he realized that it is his presence that's keeping this body going. Now, If I go and tell Dhruva Maharaj today, suppose I meet Dhruva Maharaj somewhere, Dhruva Maharaj, I have a question to ask you. Our scientists are still experimenting. They have not found the truth yet. What will Dhruva Maharaj think about us? That is also a question we have to think, isn't it? After all, we are spending so much manpower and energy and so what not, what else? I don't know, it is unlimited money and energy that's being spent to find out this one factor which Dhruva Maharaj has realized in 6 months. Krishna has given the process. Vedavyasa Maharshi put that in the Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. Dhruva Maharaj had taken instructions from Srinivasa Maharshi and he realized it in 6 months' time because he followed the process properly and he has received Krishna's mercy. So, without all these experiments, they have realized it. If I say to Dhruva Maharaj, we have not found out yet, I don't think we can accept your conclusions on this. Our research is still going on. When we get the results, we'll come back to you. If we say this to Dhruva Maharaj, Dhruva Maharaj, what will he say to us? He will say, get on with your business, do what you like. So that will be the answer from Dhruva Maharaj, isn't it? So Dhruva Maharaj is seeing our situation. And therefore, Srimad Bhagavatam has been compiled and Bhagavad Gita has been given to us to understand, don't go on experimenting. Experiments is not going to help this matter. Prana anyamscha hasta charana shravana tugadin prana namo bhagavate purushaya tubhyam. Dhruva Maharaj says there, hastam, the hands, charanam, the legs, and shravanam, all the knowledge, senses of knowledge and senses of action is only functioning because that pranan inside, prana namo bhagavate purushaya tubhyam, he is inside keeping this whole thing functioning, isn't it? Otherwise, how is it going to happen? Dhruva Maharaj realized it. Now, he doesn't require any convincing from anybody. He doesn't want any research work, any kind of convincing, because he has already realized it. So what more does he require? So that is the process. It is not one personality in the Bhagavatam. You will find several personalities following through the same process and their realizations coming through them to us. So consciousness, which is present in the body, is due to the presence of the soul. And that soul is Krishna's part and parcel. And that we cannot reject it. And there is no need to conducting experiments on this. It doesn't help. Because ultimately, who has created this? This whole creation has come from Krishna. Janmadho karma namaspudam gunadoshadiyam va na yasmin logana amudayeya swayamanu bhajadetani mayanusari. Krishna has, although he has no birth, he has no activities in this world to be performed, but still out of his compassion he comes here. And out of his compassion for us, the conditioned soul, he performs the pastimes. Different pastimes, childhood pastimes, pastimes in Vrindavana, Mathura, Dwaraka, so many places. He performed these pastimes to draw us closer to Krishna. That's what he has done. So that we'll follow him rather than following the ignorant, less intelligent leaders of the world. It is not going to help you. If one wants to have spiritual realization, one has to follow Krishna's footsteps and nothing else. That is where everything has come from. The whole spiritual knowledge in this world, because Krishna has revealed that through the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, they will ever remain as the final conclusions of in the spiritual life. And similarly, as we discussed before, that Bhagavad Gita has been pursued by great authorities for various reasons. They found in Bhagavad Gita something relevant in the past, in the present, as well as in the future. Just like this picture here, it tells us what we are, what's our position is. We are like the Arjuna, passenger in the chariot. And this body is nothing but the chariot. This chariot is taking this soul, the passenger inside. And we are that passenger like Arjuna in the chariot. We are traveling in that chariot. And this has already been discussed in Upanishads by the great sages. And Krishna has exactly presented that in the Bhagavad Gita from the Upanishads. That is, Kathopanishad particularly is representing this in this chariot is spoken about in the Kathopanishad. We have seen that before, that the Prabhupada quotes that Upanishad, some Kathopanishad verses in the 6th chapter. If you want to look at that, it is verse number 34. Verse number 34, Prabhupada quotes that verses from Kathopanishad. Kathopanishad represents this chariot. Is spoken about that in that verse there. So this chariot has a close resemblance with our body. So this material body is the chariot, and we, the soul inside, is nothing but Arjuna, the passenger in the body, in this chariot, isn't it? And the five horses, they are the five senses, which is driving us in different directions. Now, earlier, we have seen in the beginning, we spoke about this. As long as these senses are controlled by the mind, which is a rein, which is held by Krishna. And Krishna represents the intelligence. Arjuna has decided to hand over his intelligence to Krishna. That means, no more Arjuna is driven by his own intelligence. Rather, Krishna is driving Arjuna further from there. So you will see that in the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, always you should keep this picture in your mind. Why? Because when we discuss the various yoga systems also, this picture has a very close relationship with everything what is spoken in the Bhagavad Gita. That is why this picture is particularly very important. And you can see how Kathopanishad says about that. Alpanam rathanam vidhi shariram rathameva cha buddhidu saradam vidhi manaprakrahameva cha indriyani hayani ahur vishayam steshu gojayan atmendriya manoyukto bhokti eti ahur manishina. The Upanishad says like that. Alpanam rathanam vidhi that the chariot is the soul. The individual passenger traveling in the chariot is the soul. Shariram rathameva cha the chariot is the body. Material body is the chariot. Buddhim tu saradim vidhi. The charioteer or the driver of the chariot is buddhi, intelligence. And manapragraham evaja. Mind is the rein that is holding the senses. So, and the senses are the indriyani haya anyahur vishayante shugojaran. Indriya senses which are actually looking for sense gratifications, vishayas, they are being controlled by the rein and by the mind. Atma indriya mano yukto bhakti eti ahur mani shinaha. And when alpa is pleased by the control, when it is controlled properly by the right intelligence, Krishna's intelligence, that will get the chariot into the final destination properly. So, in the beginning we talked about this, that if you drive this chariot yourself, if you drive the chariot yourself, using your intelligence instead of Krishna, what will happen is, these five horses will drive and pull in five different directions. And your intelligence will tell the mind to do things which are not proper. The result is that the mind will not get the right instructions from the intelligence, and ultimately the chariot will go and topple somewhere, isn't it? And it will get broken into pieces. So, Bhagavad Gita is telling us here that if you understand this relationship between the senses, the mind, the intelligence and the soul, which is the passenger, and if you want the soul to reach its final destination properly, you have to hand over that intelligence to Krishna. Intelligence, role of intelligence has to be from Krishna. Krishna's instruction should take care of the role of intelligence. In other words, if you do not take the instructions of Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna has instructed Arjuna, there is no question of reaching the final destination properly. That's what's going to happen. You will drive the chariot in your own way, and in other words, the whole life will be a waste of time. At the end, at the time of death, because you are driving the chariot, that mind will tell the senses, won't be able to control the senses because there was no proper intelligence to guide the soul. So at the time of death, intelligence will bring some ideas into the mind, and mind will follow that route, and senses will still demand for sense gratification. And at the end, what is going to happen is that the life has gone, complete waste of time. There is no question of going back home, back to Krishna. So those who are looking for spiritual realization, one who wants to go back home, back to Krishna, and free oneself from this cycle of birth and death, Ajari Swamiji says there, Punarabhijananam, Punarabhimaranam, Punarabhijanani, Ijadare, Shayanam, Idi Samsare, Bahudustare, Kvayabare, Pahimurare. This, if you want to get out of this cycle or the wheel of birth and death, Punarabhijananam, Punarabhimaranam, first of all, birth, and then go for a long time, and then death. And after death, again birth, because as soon as you leave the body, you have to accept another body. Punarabhijananam, Punarabhimaranam, Punarabhijanani, Jadare, Shayanam. After death, enter into another womb again. And one who has realized that this is not a very pleasant situation, this changing bodies in this way, Idi samsare bahudustare, that this samsaram or material existence is simply misery. For that person, kripaya pare pahi murare, addressing Krishna, Ajari Swami says, show some mercy to us. Show me mercy, my dear Krishna, that I can come out of that, this cycle of birth and death. So one who understands and approaches Krishna with that consciousness, who understands Krishna's knowledge is supreme and Krishna's instructions are what is required for the intelligence. Instead of intelligence has to be simply replaced with Bhagavad Gita. And if you replace intelligence, just like Arjuna has done, he has replaced his intelligence. You can see there, in the Bhagavad Gita, in the second chapter, you will find, what did Arjuna say to Krishna at that point? After Krishna has spoken very bluntly to Arjuna, but in a very nice way, he says to Krishna, or Krishna says to Arjuna, that whatever you have spoken is not very intelligent thing. It is purely coming from an ignorant person, not a very learned person. And Krishna spoke like this. And eventually Arjuna, while handing over the intelligence to Krishna, he says to Krishna, Karpanya dosha bhakrida svabhava prachamitvam dharma sammuta chedaha. Then, that his real situation, that condition was that he was completely perplexed. He did not know what to do. Shishyasteham shadhimam prabhvam prabhanam, I surrender unto you. That is the point. He handed over the intelligence to Krishna and Krishna drove that from since then. And there was no problem after that. Arjuna took up the bow and arrow and started fighting. He had no difficulty. So that is the only way one can understand the process of Krishna consciousness, by accepting Krishna's authority. Not to doubt what Krishna says and start questioning Krishna. It doesn't help. Krishna is not obliged to give us an answer, first of all. He doesn't have any obligations towards us. That out of His mercy, He has revealed this knowledge in Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. And if we follow that route, then Mahajano Yena Gada Sabandha. Previously, throughout history, what you find is the great devotees, they followed this path of what was shown by Krishna. They followed that path and they got there. And that's our result. So what do we need anything more? The results are there, the knowledge is there, the process is there, the results are there, and we have got examples also of the great personalities who followed this process. So now, if this is not acceptable, and if I still have to wait for the results to come from the scientists, my life could be finished by then. The results may not come anymore. Everyone in the scientific community is not against the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita. But there are many personalities still do not want to accept the conclusions of Bhagavad Gita. Because for various reasons, which Krishna will discuss in the Bhagavad Gita alone, much later. Why people can't understand this? That's why Krishna repeatedly said, Ashcharyaval. It is very amazing, he says, that people cannot understand this. And they are always perplexed by that. So, you will notice there, that in different places in Bhagavad Gita, this very crisis develops often. Arjuna took a long time for him to come down and understand. Right up to the sixth chapter, if you notice, he was asking such questions that he was not able to accept Krishna's logic and reasoning. As I mentioned before, in many instances, that the way Krishna presents the knowledge to Arjuna is little different than the way we study at the colleges and schools here, in the universities. Where the goal is not given importance, the process is spoken more. The goal is not given importance. But in the Upanishad's way of teaching is that they give stress on the goal first. The goal is important. The process will be given. If you hold on to the process strongly, you will get to the goal. That is the guarantee. Because that is how they proved that. It's been happening like that from time immemorial in that way. So here what you will find there is that Krishna was instructing Arjuna, and when it came to the question of mind even, Arjuna was a bit disturbed and was not able to say to Krishna what he wanted to. He was not able to accept Krishna's conclusions on that. If you look into the sixth chapter, you will find what Arjuna spoke about that. That after, if you look at the verse 33 in chapter 6, verse 33, Arjuna has come down a little bit from his original position, where he was so fixed up in his tradition and in his doubts about the future of the human society, and also how it is going to affect his relatives and friends and his austerities and all kinds of logic what he has put forward. That is all gone from Krishna's mind, Arjuna's mind now. And Arjuna is now talking to Krishna about one thing. What was that? Yoyam yogastvaya proktam samyena madhusudana edasyaham na pasyami chanjalatval sthidim sthiram. Arjuna says to Krishna, O Madhusudana, the system of yoga which you have summarized appears impractical and unendurable to me, for the mind is restless and unsteady. As though Krishna didn't know about it. The way Arjuna says to Krishna sometimes, it looks, but Arjuna is a very nice person in the sense, he's not shy in saying what he wants to say. He will say it to Krishna. And he has done that in the beginning. So at least you would have thought that now you'll be a little bit more careful in saying to Krishna something. But no, there was no problem with Arjuna. Arjuna will always speak things straight to Krishna. Because of that relationship was like that. So Arjuna says to Krishna that Madhusudana, the system of yoga which you have summarized appears impractical. So Arjuna didn't say, if it was impractical, why did you instruct that to me? No, he says it's impractical, it's not going to work. Very negative Arjuna was at that time. And in fact, the Dhyana Yoga process itself is a very difficult process, which you will see when you read through, you will notice there. So two things Arjuna mentioned to Krishna at that time. Two things he spoken. One first thing what he said was that he says to Krishna, this process is very difficult, he said. Secondly, he said to Arjuna says to Krishna, Chanjalam himana Krishna, pramadi balaval dradam, that this mind is like this, it's wavering all the time. Sangalpam and vigalpam, that is the function of the mind. Sangalpam and vigalpam means that there are, if you have to go a little deeply about this subject, because this thing called mind has baffled many, many people in this world. What does this mind mean? And many, what do we call these people who studied the mind and all, psychologists, isn't it? Yeah, they have written volumes and volumes of books on mind, haven't they? Freud, Kant, Hegel, Nietzsche. There are big, big philosophers, Western philosophers, who have studied mind in their own way, and they have certain conclusions also about the mind. So Arjuna says to Krishna, Chanjalam himana Krishna, pramadi balaval dridam, tasyaham nigraham manye, vayo oriva sudushkaram. Because the nature of the mind is like this, tasyaham nigraham manye, vayo oriva sudushkaram. Just like we cannot control the wind, in the same way, I cannot control the mind. He says to Chanjalam himana Krishna, Krishna, this is chanjalam, it is always shaking. I'm not able to hold it, he says. Arjuna says, I know that. Krishna says, I know about that. It's not that I don't know about it. So, you will see in the next verse itself, what did Krishna say to Arjuna? Krishna says, Shri Bhagavan Uvajam Asamshayam Mahabaho Mano Durnigraham Chalam Abhyasena Dukhaundeya Vairagyena Jagrishyade. So, Krishna wanted to make it clear to Arjuna Asamshayam Mahabaho. Sometimes Krishna and Arjuna used to speak each other in this way. Krishna will call Arjuna Mahabaho, like that. Oh, great, I have a mighty armed one. That's how they, although friends, they address each other like this. Arjuna will call Krishna by all different names, Madhusudana, Madhava, Janardana, and all that. And in return, Krishna will also equally call Arjuna in such a way that never once Arjuna, Krishna has spoken to Arjuna in a very in a way that will hurt Arjuna. He will always speak in such a way, but Krishna will never agree with Arjuna on anything. So Krishna says here, Asamshayam Mahabaho Mano Durnigraham Chalam. Manas is very, very difficult to control. Asamshayam, no doubt about it, Mahabaho Arjuna. There is no doubt that mind is a difficult thing to control. Abhyasena Duga Undeya Vairagena Jagrihyade. But if you practice it, Abhyasam means, what does Abhyasam means? Abhyasam means repeatedly doing something. Something you have got an instruction in the right direction. You have got some instruction in the right direction. That is called Abhyasam. Just like chanting Hare Krishna, it is Abhyasam. Abhyasam it is. What else are we doing? What we are continuously chanting the holy name every day, every month, every year, throughout life. That is what Abhyasam means. Abhyasam is not something like a, you know, someone prepares for the Olympics for a few months before, and as soon as the Olympics is finished, he got his medal, he leaves it. No, that's not Abhyasam. This Abhyasam is, in spiritual sense, it is for every single day to practice. The more you practice, the results also will be accordingly. That is it. That's all what Krishna is saying. Krishna is not expecting a very high level of intelligence from us. What he is expecting from us is the determination to do it and to follow the process. That is what's important. And that is where we fall down. We talk all big, big things. When it comes to doing things, we pull back. We don't want to do much. Because abhyasena duga undeya vairagena jagrihyade. If these two things are there, Krishna says, you will understand what I am talking about. That is how he clarified to Arjuna. Abhyasam and vairagyam, these are two things which is required for a sadhaka, one who is in the spiritual life. If he does not have these two, then that spiritual life will be just like a like a chariot which is driven by the mind. It will go in different directions. So Krishna has stressed these things very strongly in Bhagavad Gita so that we take it seriously if we want the results to come. And if we look into the purport on that verse, Srila Prabhupada has mentioned there that if you look at the purport under verse 35, Prabhupada mentions that the first and foremost of such devotional engagements is hearing about Krishna. If you hear about Krishna, what will happen? What will happen if you hear about Krishna? Attachment will build up inside. We will understand who is Krishna. At the moment we are thinking, oh, Krishna is looking very nice in the marble deity in the temple room. That is most of us, our perception of Krishna is. But Krishna is not simply the deity in the temple room. Krishna is more than that. The whole, actually, strictly speaking, nothing exists in this world except Krishna. So Prabhupada says here, this is a very powerful transcendental method for purging the mind of all misgivings. The more one hears about Krishna, the more one becomes enlightened and detached from everything that draws the mind away from Krishna. So through that verses, through that purport, Srila Prabhupada is saying that the practice is important, chanting the holy name and hearing about Krishna. If you don't hear, the mind will not go. Mind will continue to block our progress in spiritual life. But the moment we hear about Krishna, immediately these two things, Abhyasam and Vairagyam, will become our strong tools for us to grow in the spiritual path. If you look into Srimad Bhagavatam, if you will find there are in the second chapter, I think in the first canto, Suda Goswami was talking to the sages in Naimisharanyam. Naimisharanyam sages were asking Suda Goswami that this Bhakti Yogam process is discussed so much, but how does it work? How does this process happen? So in answer to that, Suda Goswami said to Shaunag Rishi and others there, in a very nice way, he presents it there. How does it work? It works like this. వాసుదేవే భగవతి భగవల్ భక్తి యోగ ప్రయోజితాః జనయతి ఆశు వైరాగ్యం జ్ఞానం చ యదహైదుగం. దట్ ఈస్ ది కన్క్లూషన్. కన్క్లూషన్ ఇస్ లైక్ దట్ వాసుదేవే భగవతి భక్తి యోగ ప్రయోజిత. ఇఫ్ సంహార్ ది అదర్, ఇఫ్ వన్ డెవలప్స్ డివోషన్ ఫార్ కృష్ణ, ఇన్ అదర్ వర్డ్స్ సింప్లీ బై ద ప్రాసెస్ ఆఫ్ హియరింగ్ అండ్ చాంటింగ్, chanting the holy name and hearing Srimad Bhagavatam and everything associated with Krishna. Vasudeve Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojidaha. If you continuously do that, what will happen? Janayati Ashu Vairagyam. Vairagyam will build up inside. All these problems what we have in this world today with our own mind, we sometimes complain that, oh, I'm not able to chant because I've got this problem, that problem. All these problems is nothing but desires are built up inside. And these desires are manifesting all the time as it gets an opportunity. Isn't it? So when there is desires constantly coming up in the mind, and then the desire to fulfill those desires develops inside, and one gets into action. One gets into action, he gets, till the desires are fulfilled, he continues to act. With the results that attachment will build up. Attachment is the cause of desire. And desire is the cause of action. And action means what? Bondage again. Karma, karma bandhanam will happen again. So we are caught up in that cycle. So unless we give up this, by business of getting caught up in this and free ourselves from that, therefore, Bhagavatam says there, Vasudeve Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojitam. Bhakti Yogam, if one practices, attachment to Krishna builds up, material desires run away from the heart. Janayadi Ashu Vairagyam. Vairagyam will come automatically, and then along with that, Janayati Ashu Vairagyam Jnanam Jayadahaidugam. Along with that, proper knowledge also. Knowledge about the truth. What is knowledge will come at that time to the person. So, in this way, you will see that Krishna has spoken about very, very simple things. As long as it's not translated into our own life, this cycle of birth and death we have to accept. We have no choice about it. We have no choice about it. That's what Krishna is saying. And in relationship with this, there are many things that can be spoken. Just like Dhruva Maharaj experienced this in the forest. And he has told us the result, isn't it? He has told us. This is that Pranan Namo Bhagavate Purushaya Tubhyam. That his realization was that he experienced himself. Now I do not need any more any explanation from this. Anyamsha Hasta Jarana Shravanam Tugadin Pranan Namo Bhagavate Purushaya Tubhyam. That Dhruva Maharaj understood that he was able to move his hand and hand could function. He was able to walk and he was able to hear, all because Krishna was inside doing that for him. How many of us have this realization that I am doing this, I am doing that, me, I am going on in this whole world, whole day, doing so many things. But when do we realize that Krishna is doing this? That realization never comes. Only it comes at one point when you become totally helpless and collapses. At that time, Krishna, you are doing everything now. Up to that time, I was doing. But when one you become totally helpless, lying at home or lying in the hospital, wherever it is, and all the doctors are giving you the final certification that there is no chances of survival, that time Krishna is doing everything. And up to that time, Krishna is not doing anything. We are doing everything. So as long as this consciousness is strong in us, Krishna says that this is the simple thing, but it's difficult to accommodate us in our own mind. If you read Srimad Bhagavatam, you will find how this ego has come to us. This is also a question we have to ask, isn't it? Suppose I say so many things, oh, I've done this, I'm going to do this in the future, I've done this in the past, and I have so many plans in my mind to do many, many things. It is me, I, who is saying all these things, isn't it? And similarly, somebody else is also saying the thing, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. So everyone is saying the same I, if you look at it this way, and I is one. That I is one. It's only that I has broken up in all of us, and it is doing its duty in different ways. Only thing is, because of our lack of spiritual understanding and lack of realization, we have identified with this false I, which we have nothing to do with. And that I has come at the time of creation. If you look, You will see there Brahma's creation. How did he create? In the third canto of Bhagavatam, you can read that. First he created Kalam. Kalam, Karmam and Subhavam. Three things he has created. It's in the third canto. It's in the second canto. When Brahma was instructing Sri Narada Maharshi. We'll come to that later. So, at the time of creation, when the Mahatattvam, from Mahatattvam, developed this Ahankaram, this false ego. And every living entity who comes here, he brings a share of that. You see, Mahatattvam is the whole big bang, which is holding all our karma bang in that Mahatattvam. And we carry a small purse in with us, and that is Chittam. Chittam is that purse in us, which carries the small account we have taken from our big account, we have drawn some money, and we have put it in Chittam. And that is what is carrying in this life, where the presence of the false ego is there. And that false ego is associated with that. And so long as this false ego is there, it is great difficulty for us to understand what Bhagavad Gita is saying. So how to crush this false ego? And once this false ego goes away from inside, automatically we will realize who is doing everything. Up to that point, we are doing everything. And when you look at this, some people, they will, when they talk, and sometimes you feel sad also, because they have in their life led very active lives. They have been busy building big projects in this world, accumulating wealth, accumulating fame, and also wanted to advance in politics, this, that and the other. Many big men have gone through this process. They will spend a major part of their lifetime in their search and in their chase for all these things. And at the end of life, when it comes to 65, 70 or even 75 sometimes, they feel that whatever they have done, have not done anything good to the world. They'll come to that point at that time, because at that time they wanted to change the world. Now the world is changing them. Because Krishna's energy is called Kalam. That is what Kalam does. What does Kalam do? Kalam does one thing. It changes us all the time. How does everything what we find in this world is changing? It's due to Kalam. Krishna's that factor called time. It is one of the creation of Krishna. That time engages everything in such a way, it has to change. So it took 70 or 80 years for that person to realize that I am changing. Up to that time he was thinking, I will control things. But once he gets to that age, and all that what he has done in this world didn't stand there. Everything changed. He couldn't hold this world. You cannot hold this world standstill. You can't hold it. Because Krishna's energy, Kalam, is working behind. Just like Krishna's energy, this false ego is working in us, behind the scene, Krishna's energy, the Kalam, is working there. Krishna's energy, the Karmam, is working there. And the three modes of material nature are there. It is within these three, this tiny spark of spiritual spark of Krishna's part and parcel is trying to dominate it all the time. He's trying to dominate it. And in that process he loses at the end. And then within his own eyes, he is seeing that whatever I have done in this world has all become eventually a waste of time. He realizes that. By then it is too late. There's nothing much you can do now. You have wasted one lifetime. That's all. So the kyuka, we understand what Krishna is saying, that that here you will see this in this part of the Bhagavad Gita, that Krishna is saying asamshayam mahabaho mano durnigraham jalam abhyasena dukaundeya vairagyena jagrihyade. That abhyasam and vairagyam, two things, if you take it and if you do it from the early ages in life, there is a possibility that you will get your mind under control. Krishna says there, you will get your mind under your control. If not, you could be for a long haul, could go for many lifetimes. That opportunity, Krishna, to come to contact with Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita is not a subject which is talking unreasonable things. It presents to you with full logic and reasoning that this is what life is meant for. This is how the process is. You don't find a literature like Bhagavad Gita anywhere else. That knowledge in Bhagavad Gita is so superior that for one who is looking for the truth, he can find it from Bhagavad Gita. He will find it in the Bhagavad Gita. and you don't have to go elsewhere. Krishna is saying, wherever you are, whatever conditions you are, if you follow the process, the results will be there. So what happened was that this process of Shravanam, that's what I wanted to tell you, that Shravanam is a process by which we hear about Krishna. And how powerful that process is explained in the Bhagavatam. That you will notice in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnur, Smaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakhyam, Atmanivedanam. Out of the 9 processes of devotional service, Shravanam has been given the highest importance. Why Shravanam has been given the highest importance? Because Shravanam is something which is which changes a person very quickly. It has the greatest effect on a person. We can give you a lot of proof for that. In the Bhagavatam, if you see, Srinarada Maharshi instructed Prahlad Maharaj's mother, Kayadhu. Kayadhu was dragged by Indra. Srinarada Maharshi goes and instructs Kayadhu, and staying within the womb of Kayadhu, Prahlada heard these instructions of Srinarada Maharshi. Within the womb, when Kayadhu was pregnant with Prahlada, Prahlada was hearing about these instructions from Srinarada Maharshi. And what happened? As soon as Prahlada came out of Kayadhu's womb, he was the greatest devotee. The father was demoniac. The mother was not very helpful either. Nor the race, the Asuric race, Asuras they were, demoniac races. And Prahlada was the greatest devotee. How did this happen? And that is where you hear the power of Shravanam, the power of hearing about Krishna. And that is what changes a person. One who does not hear about Krishna. That is why this system of hearing from time immemorial has been a part of the Bhagavata culture, Bhagavata consciousness. Simply hearing about Krishna all the time. And when one continuously hears, you will immediately see how the results are coming also from that. So, there are big examples. It can be good, it can be bad also. Just like Prahlad heard good things when he was in the womb of the mother, and the result was that he became a devotee. Now, if you want to know what happens when you hear the bad things when you are inside the womb, what will happen? What will happen? I can give you an example. What happened? Some time ago, not nowadays, but some time ago, when there was no this. Credit cards, plastic cards, when they were not there in existence, everyone handled cash, isn't it? Everybody handled cash. So people carried whatever money they need. So that time, pickpockets were quite often. Very, very many pickpockets in the buses, trains, everywhere. At least in India it was. I don't know about here. But pickpocketing was quite a common phenomenon those days. So once it so happened that one of them, one who picked the pockets, he entered into a bus and he carried on with his business as usual. Generally, they have a blade with them. They cut the pockets through and nick the things what they want to take. So they know, and they are experts at it. So a pickpocket got into a bus and he started his business. He was getting on with his business. And normally they'll do what they want, and 2 or 3 stops they'll go and they'll get down from the bus and go away. That's where they know what they got their results, what they wanted. So once it so happened, this particular man who was doing the pickpocketing, he got into the bus and he was carrying on his business. At that time he noticed there was another one in the same bus doing the same business. So you can imagine. Only difference was it was a woman, not a man. So she started from the front of the bus and he started from the back. So during the process of doing this business, they looked at each other. So you can imagine what that look meant. You are in your business, I am in my business, don't create any trouble, let's get on with our business. That's what it meant basically. So he went to the front door and she got into the back door. By then she has done her business and he has finished his business. And both of them, when the bus stopped, after 2 or 3 stops, she got down. When she got down, he thought he should also get down and meet her and introduce himself to her. Because after all, we are in the same business, isn't it? So he got down and he took courage. After all, there was no difficulty. He went up to her and spoke to her that, you know, I saw what you were doing. And I had also been doing this business for a long time. So eventually they ended up in going to a coffee shop or something. They sat in the coffee shop. And they talked about various things, how the business is. Naturally, every businessman talks about the business, isn't it? So they also talked about their business. And obviously he had little more higher technology in this than her. So she thought, maybe if we work together in cooperation, we can do a higher turnover. We can get out of it. So with these things in mind, these two started working together. And they could see the results was getting a lot better, isn't it? A small company, when you bought by a big company, together, it gets a much more powerful as a corporation-like thing. So this corporation started functioning. So eventually they decided, maybe it's not a bad thing if we get married. So they ended up in marriage at the end. You know, like in the office, you get meet people and you get married at the end, isn't it? The office becomes a meeting place and everything happens there. Because that's where most of the life is spent in the working life, is in the office. So these people, the couple got married. So naturally when they got married, they had a lot of dreams as well. They had a lot of dreams how the married life should be. But before getting married, the man told wife, the would-be wife or the bride, he said that if we have a son or a daughter, whoever is born, we will not send him to school. We will teach him this trade, what we have developed so many years. You have a lot of experience, I have a lot of experience. Let us pass it on to him. And when after they got married, she became pregnant in due course. And when she was pregnant, this was the conversation between the husband and wife. They were not reading Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam or anything. The only discussion between husband and wife was how to bring up the child when the child is born. What should be the career he or she should pursue and how he should be trained. And they both agreed in one issue that we will train him up in this process, and that will be, he doesn't have to go out looking for work or other business or serving somebody else when we have so much know-how available here with us. So keeping all this discussion went on for many, many days while he was inside the womb of the mother. And he was talking to her about the new techniques what he knew about in the process of taking the money out from the pockets and doing different kinds of operations. And there are different ways how to hold the blade between the fingers and not knowing notice how to cut the pocket. Don't ask me why I'm saying all this. I was not doing it before. It is not a know-how I have manufactured, but I know it does exist. So it so happened that the child was to be delivered. You see, child was to be delivered. So she was admitted to the hospital, and in a due course of time, after the 10 months, it was in the hospital, the baby was delivered. Baby was delivered, and they brought the baby home. Everything went very well. There was no complications. Everything was fine. They brought the baby home. When they brought the baby home, and they were very pleased that everything went off very well. You know, when the children, when they are born, they'll hold their fingers like this, isn't it? They won't open it. They'll hold it. So they were trying to open the fingers of the child. He was not opening it. He was holding it so tight. Couldn't open it. Eventually, with a lot of force, they opened it. When they opened it, what did they find there? The wedding ring of the nurse was already in the hand of the child. So, is Shravanam effective or not? Thus, Shravanam has shown its power in that child. Child has performed so well that even before coming out of the labor room, child has brought the wedding ring of the nurse with him. So, that is the power of the Shravanam. Shravanam is like that. Only thing is, if you hear about Krishna, that will take you to Krishna. If you hear about all these things, it will take you there in that direction also. So you can imagine how important it is to hear the right things and about Krishna. If you hear the wrong things, We have to avoid that also. It is important. These things, like, it is all discussed in the Bhagavad Gita. Why Krishna is saying this? Chanchalam himana Krishna pramadhi balaval dhradam. That it is, Arjuna is saying, because we have been hearing so many nonsense in this world, what is not necessary to be heard. If one has to avoid the nonsense, one has to avoid it. Because by hearing rubbish, that will influence us, our mind and our intelligence. That is why it's told, one has to avoid certain things. What good is there hearing about all what is going on in this world? Does that help a person who is in the spiritual path? All the distress in this world, all the miseries of this world, that will continue to come. That will continue to come. Once it so happened that a person went to a spiritual master and he said to the spiritual master that I have got all these kind of problems. It is, this is happening here, this is happening there, and this is all becoming a problem for me in my spiritual life. The spiritual master realized that this person's mind is going everywhere else, except in what is required, he is not focusing on it. So he said to him that at least if you give up your interest in the external world, what's going on? He was complaining that how foolish people were. People were interested in all kinds of foolish affairs. So spiritual master says to him, at least if you change yourself, at least one foolish person will come out of it. That was his logic. Because as far as spiritual knowledge is concerned, everyone is a fool in this world. Everybody is a fool. Foolish means, why? Because the ajnanam, ajnanam means, the correct translation for ajnanam is not ignorance. Ignorance is only in relationship with various things in this world. Generally when we say ignorance in this world, ignorance means lacking various things, isn't it? Proper manners, when we say, oh, somebody is very ignorant. Or lack of behavior or whatever it is. Sometimes we condemn people like he's ignorant. But ajnanam, the word is not used in that connection. Ajnanam means when one does not know one's spiritual identity as spirit soul, he is ignorant. That is the Shastric version of ignorance. Shastric version of ignorance says, one who does not know his spiritual identity, or in other words, one who has not followed the spiritual process and one who has not realized himself, he is ignorant, is ajnani, as they are called ajnani. Ajnani means one who has no idea. He may know so many things in this world. He may have the highest knowledge of engineering, medicine, or whatever that is. He is still an ajnani. Why? Because he has no knowledge of himself. That is why it's called knowledge of the soul. So therefore, if you look at that verse, ajnana timira andasya ajnana anjana shalagayam, that it is that ajnanam that is chasing us. Ajnanam that is chasing us. And that ajnanam is covering our eyes. And as long as it's covered like that, there is no possibility of developing spiritual life. That is how it is mentioned. So, from here you have to realize that the importance of mind, how important it is. And as you have seen here, that two questions Arjuna has raised, and Krishna has answered with that one verse also. Now the problem is this. In the modern world, there is a lot of discussion about mind. Psychiatrists and others, as I mentioned before, they have all spoken about the mind. Now, as far as Vedavyasa Maharshi and Krishna is concerned, you have to just leave that behind. Don't take that very seriously, because that does not help. That doesn't help. Only if you follow what Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita about mind, then there is a possibility of going further in spiritual life. Because as far as Freud and other great personalities are concerned, they were not looking for spiritual life. They were trying to analyze mind. You have to remember that. Krishna is not trying to analyze mind. Krishna is trying to tell us what you should do with your mind if you want to go further in spiritual path. There is a big difference there. And if we don't take to Krishna's instructions on this, we won't get anywhere. And that is why Krishna sometimes spoke about mind. What is this mind means? What is this mind? Why is this mind giving us these troubles? Every one of us will acknowledge that sometime or the other, the mind is the biggest problem. I'm sure that every one of us have experienced this mind. Sometimes we want to chant Hare Krishna. Mind is telling us, no, don't chant. It's not necessary. And sometimes we want to read Srimad Bhagavatam. Mind is telling, no, watch the television news. Let's see what's going on in the world. Why this weakness is coming to the mind? It's been analyzed and it has been spoken about in the Upanishads also about it. The nature of the mind is like this. There is no such thing called mind, first of all. As far as Krishna is concerned, there's no such thing as a mind. What is mind then means? Mind means a hundreds and thousands of thoughts together. If you put it together, that is mind. That's mind. That's what is causing the problem. Only by the symptoms you know the mind. What does the mind does? So these thoughts are coming, they disturb you, and then they go away. Or they come and they give you some happiness, and then they go away. Isn't it? No thought stays in your mind forever, does it? Nothing will stay in the mind forever. They come, they give you some time, they give you some happiness or distress for some time, and then they go away. Because of this, mind has been analyzed like this, that if you, when we say forest, for example, what does forest mean? Forest means nothing. It's a large number of trees together, isn't it? So if you don't have the trees, there is no forest either. Similarly, if you don't have the thoughts there, there is no mind either, is there? There is no mind, isn't it? When there is no thoughts, there is no mind. That's the nature of the mind. Also, there's an example given that when we talk about a mob, a number of people together, a group, large number of people, mob doesn't exist. What exists is a number of people. When the number of people goes away, mob doesn't exist. Similarly, mind also is like that. There is no such thing called mind. It is these thoughts that keeps coming and going one after the other. So they compare this to the sky. What happens in the sky is this. The sky on its own is steady, bluish, clean, clear sky is existing. And constantly the clouds are coming. The clouds are coming and they keep moving in the sky. They keep moving in the sky. So when the clouds are moving in the sky, eventually the clouds become rain and come to the ground. But they disturb the sky for some time. It appears that the sky is disturbed by their presence. Either they cover the sky, or there is thunder or lightning or whatever it is. But this process of coming and disturbing the sky does exist. Now, the sky stays transcendental to the clouds that come, isn't it? Sky stays transcendental to the clouds that come. The clouds come and go, the sky stays there. Similarly, in the mind also, this is what happens. Our original consciousness is Krishna consciousness. In other words, either one is Krishna conscious or one is situated even on the Brahman platform as pure consciousness, Aham Brahmasmi. Even in either of these platforms, you should not be disturbed by the mind. That is why once you realize and come to that platform of Aham Brahmasmi, I am Brahman, where the consciousness has cleared this situation, that is, it has come to the state where it is not anymore disturbed by the thoughts that's coming. Swarupam. Swarupam is one's own original identity. Because we have fallen from that Swarupam, from our original identity, into material consciousness, all these thoughts are disturbing us. That is why these thoughts are disturbing us. Just like we like not to be disturbed. This is our original consciousness. Our true nature is not to be disturbed. Why do we have to be disturbed? Because our original nature as consciousness is not to get disturbed. That is our origin, just like the sky, is not to get disturbed. But as much as the clouds come and disturb the sky, these thoughts also come one after the other and they start affecting us. Because we have fallen from that consciousness of Brahman. That I am not identifying with that. My consciousness has fallen down from that. And therefore, all these thoughts become very, very important for us. So sometimes these thoughts come so powerful that immediately it overpowers us and we start action straight away. Sankalpam and vikalpam are the two activities of the mind, and nishchayalpiya buddhi, intelligence, immediately accepts and makes a decision on that and tells the mind to go ahead with the action. As soon as intelligence tells the mind to act, immediately mind takes over and senses through senses or sensual activities, through senses of knowledge or senses of action, all these things comes into force and they start functioning. And once this starts functioning, what happens? We have fallen down completely. Completely we have fallen down from our spiritual consciousness. So the spiritual consciousness, only one can stay as long as one understands that the mind is something which is nothing but uninvited guests. They come. And these uninvited guests, they come. So you have to learn how to entertain the guest properly. So when the guest comes, if he is a good guest, you receive him nicely and you send him away, but not affect your consciousness because of the guests that come. Similarly, if it is a bad guest also, you have to know how to send him away in the proper way, that he does not disturb you. A good guest or a bad guest, or a good thought or a bad thought, you cannot allow them to affect your consciousness. And if you practice that, Krishna says here, Abhyasena dukha undeya vairagyena jagrihyade. If we do like that, eventually what will happen is these thoughts won't be able to come. They will stop coming. And at that point, the mind will engage in its proper function. The mind will not exist. And that time, the spiritual spark, Krishna consciousness, will influence the self. And one will understand what one is. What one is. That is the time when one realizes oneself. This subtle body, which is nothing but mind, intelligence and false ego. And that powerful mind, which is the main block between us and Krishna, which is that main block between us and Krishna, that mind needs to be changed. Mind needs to lose its strength. And that is the process what Krishna has discussed. For that, the Dhyana Yogam in the 6th chapter was discussed by Krishna. The process of meditation. And for devotees, Prabhupada has instructed that we chant the holy name of Krishna. One simply chants the holy name because of the potency of the holy name, the power of the holy name. What will happen is, eventually the mind will collapse. It will be crushed at the end. And that is the pure stage of Krishna consciousness, pure state of chanting the holy name, when the mind does not influence the person anymore. That purity will come by the power of the holy name and by the sincere surrender to Krishna. So as I mentioned before, that the personalities in the Bhagavadam is only talking to us after they have experimented all these things in their own life. That's what they have done. They didn't do anything else. Krishna's instructions were there and their spiritual masters have instructed them, like Narada Muni instructed Dhruva Maharaj. Similarly, there are many more personalities in the Bhagavadam. If you want to look at, you can keep on looking at them and you will read their prayers also. Every one of them will be acknowledging one factor, that it's only because of the presence of Krishna within their own body that the body is functioning. The body is functioning. This is what Krishna is trying to drive us to that point. And one day, when we fully realize this, that Krishna is keeping this body going, then what else can you do except to pay your obeisances to Krishna? That's the point devotee acknowledges. That great devotees, this was their final conclusions, that ultimately it is Krishna moving this, making me to do good things, bad things, making me to breathe, making me to move, making me to think. There is not one function in this body which happens without Krishna's approval. This is the fact. This is the truth of life. And we, on the other hand, have no recognition of any of Krishna's energies working in us. Pranobana, Samana, Udana, Vyana. The 5 different kinds of air which keeps this body going. If you go to toilet, both the activities are performed by Apanan. Isn't it? Apanan is, if tomorrow Apanan withdraws, you know what will happen. You know what will happen if Apanan withdraws. At the appropriate time, he comes and does his job. Apanan does his job. Therefore, you are able to go to the toilet. And if Krishna doesn't engage Apanan at the right time, no doctor, NHS, can help you at that time. You can start pumping things and pulling out from this end and that end. All that you can do. But at the end, up to 70, 80 years, as long as you have a material body, Krishna makes sure day after day it functions in the body without any trouble. And that is Krishna's mercy. If Apanan is like that, what about the digestion inside the stomach? As soon as we eat something, we enjoy everything. Oh, I am enjoying this, I am enjoying that. You have so many things and so many sinful activities also. And I am sending everything inside. And who has to digest it? Who has to digest it? Krishna has to digest it. Aham vaishvanaro bhutva praninam deham ashridaham. That pajamyanam chaturvidham. Four kinds of food Krishna says you can eat. And when it goes in the form of vaishvanara, Krishna is present inside and digesting that body, digesting that food. And separates what is necessary for us and rejects what is not necessary for us. Who set up this system inside the body? Who is doing it every day after day after day from birth? Who gave us that intelligence that I should cry as soon as I come out of the womb? Cry and look for the milk from the mother. Who has given us that understanding? And who arranged that milk in the mother's breast to be fed to the child as soon as the child is born? By whose arrangement everything is going on in this whole creation? And a devotee who has followed this process of Krishna consciousness, he realizes all these things in one point. At one stretch, he realizes everything. That is why Dhruva Maharaj says, Prana namo bhagavate purushaya tubhyam. That pranan which is keeping this body going, I pay my obeisances to that. He says like that. So, it is such a, Krishna is so far from us. We think only in Krishna is in the temple room and we come there to want to see Krishna in the beautiful form. But strictly speaking, there is no need to go anywhere. He is inside functioning 24 hours. That he, it is him who is carrying out all the functions of this body present as within ourselves. And when he is doing that, we don't want to acknowledge that. At that time, I am doing everything. I am me. Nobody else, it's me. I've done this. I will run marathon. I'll do this. I've not done. Krishna has not done. I've done that. Marathon, I've run. And in this way, I've increased my ignorance. That's what I've done. With this bodily identification, and with this identification with the material elements, what I've done is, I've simply increased my ignorance. I did not want to acknowledge at any point that Krishna is behind it. When we breathe the air, who provides us it? Who provides us the air? Who provides us the water? And when the air goes inside, who makes the whole body to function? The prana functions in the body. And that air which goes in has to provide the necessary energy for the body. Who does that? Krishna is doing that. And in spite of all this, what Krishna has done to us inside as well as outside, we still find it difficult to accept Krishna. This is our difficulty. In spite of everything what Krishna has done to us, both inside as well as outside, inside the body as well as the outside the body, Krishna is continuously showing us that it's me who is doing it. And still we are thinking that we are the controllers. This is our difficulty. So, as I mentioned before, Srimad Bhagavatam is giving numerous examples. Apart from these, what I have talked about, Dhruva Maharaj, go a little bit further into the fifth canto. You will find there this great personality, Jadabharata. We have discussed that in the fifth canto. Fifth canto, personality, Jadabharata. Jadabharata's story. What did Jadabharata do? Jadabharata realized this. He realized this. In his previous lifetime, he realized it. But due to his minor mistake, he had to fall. What was the mistake? He went after this deer. He has forgotten his responsibility. And due to an unfortunate incident, attachment to the deer built up, and the result was that he had to accept a deer body. And when not only he had to accept the deer body, when he gave up the deer body, the deer's body, he got back again another human life. And not only Krishna gave him a human life, in that human life, this whole memory came back to him of what happened in his previous lifetimes. What happened in his previous lifetimes? He came back to him. That whole memory came back to him. That is Krishna's mercy. If you serve Krishna today, if you serve Krishna sincerely today, at some point, even in this life, if it does not happen, Krishna says that, nahi kalyana kal kaschil, nahi kalyana kal kaschil durgadim tadagachari. Krishna says to Arjuna, that once you have come to this process, my dear Arjuna, he will never fall. Temporarily you may experience some difficulties in this, but ultimately he will come back to me. This is Krishna's guarantee. Who else has spoken like this? with that confidence and that scientific way that Krishna has spoken. Nahi kalyana kril kastil durgadim tadagachari. My dear son, he says to Arjuna, that one who has come to me, accepted my instructions in the Bhagavad Gita, and he is living based on that principle, there is no question of him falling down again into the material cycle of birth and death. He has to come back to me at the end. Jatabharata's case, what has happened was, Jatabharata realized that this knowledge was following him. This knowledge was following him. In the dear body, the knowledge followed him. The result was that he had to wait till the body was going to drop. So, you will see in the Srimad Bhagavatam that Jatabharata, in the deer's body, he went back to the same Gandaki river where he got that body from. He got the body from Gandaki river, and at the very same place he dropped that body also. He realized that in this deer's body I can't do very much. It is my prarabdham that has followed me. That prarabdha karma has followed him. The result was that he had to accept that deer body and he had to wait till prarabdham was finished. And prarabdham was finished. In the next life, he got again a human form. But this time, as the son of a brahmana. But what was important there was, because the knowledge followed Jatabharata Maharaj from the previous lifetimes, right up to this point, Jatabharata decided not to talk anymore to anybody. Why? Once you talk to somebody, relationship will build up, attachment will build up, isn't it? That's what, in this whole world, how does the world go on? Because we are all talking to each other. Because of this talking only, all this world is going on. Most of the talking is useless, but still we keep talking. But this talking, Jatabharata realized that it is a waste of time from the very beginning. So, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, you will find, when Jatabharata was going to be educated by his father, the brahmana, Jatabharata won't accept it. The father was very upset, very, very upset, that I've got a son who cannot speak. The father is thinking. And the son, no. Not one word coming from the mouth. And for a brahmana, it is so important to learn how to speak, isn't it? Because he has to chant all the mantras. It took 6 months for Jatabharata's father to teach him Gayatri. And if you ask, has he learned to chant Gayatri? If you ask that question, you can say one or two letters he has learned with a great difficulty. He won't say still anything. So eventually, this carried on whole lifetime. Jatabharata carried on in this way. He would not speak to anybody. And eventually his father left this world out of the distress from the son's situation. He did not know anything what was going on because they were totally, he did not speak to them one word. He could have instructed them about spiritual life. Jatabharata could have instructed them properly about spiritual life. He did not do it. Why? He said they are Shuddha Ajnani. Shuddha Ajnani means pure ignorant ones. Pure Ajnanis. They are so absorbed in their body life, bodily activities, no point in talking to them. This was his, because such personalities, they will only talk provided if they find by talking there is some benefit to somebody. Otherwise they won't talk, they'll keep quiet. There's no point in talking. So as far as parents were concerned, he has already come to the conclusion, the way they were going on with their life, he understood that there was no point in talking to them. He didn't talk to them one word. Now what happens after that? Just see his life. I'm saying how that progression in a person who is self-realized, how he acts in this world. And if you compare this Jatabharata story in the Srimad Bhagavatam and instructions in Bhagavad Gita, you will see a very close relationship with everything what Krishna has spoken and how Jatabharata has acted. Why? Because Jatabharata, like Dhruva Maharaj, has practiced it and gone through. He doesn't need to be told anymore anything because he has experienced himself. So the next thing that he had, I will make that story very short because it's a very big chapter in the Bhagavatam, that Jatabharata was appointed by his brothers to look after the field, the crops. Jatabharata wouldn't do anything. He would just sit there. He thought They have asked me to keep an eye. I'm keeping an eye. That was his attitude. The cattle will come and eat everything. And he said that they only asked me to keep an eye. I'm looking at them. He will see right in front of his eyes. They'll come, they'll have their feast and they'll go. And Krishna says, in the Bhagavatam, Parikshit, Sukadeva Goswami says to Parikshit, my dear king, you don't know how Krishna looks after devotee. When the time of harvest came, the grains in the field was much more than what normally they would have got. This is what happened. Janabharata didn't know anything what was going on. Krishna made sure that if there was not enough grains in the field, the brothers will take it upon him for not looking, doing his job properly. So Krishna made sure that there was everything sufficient, grains from the field for them to harvest. That happened. After that, you know the story when he started walking freely after he has finished his duty, he was going away. King Raghugana, who was going to see Kapila Maharshi to take instructions, he was traveling in a palanquin. And while traveling in the palanquin, they were short of one person to carry the palanquin. Suddenly they noticed this man, very hale and hearty, very healthy person, strong, big arms, everything. They went up to him and told him, come here, they said. Because king was in the palanquin, so they could instruct, they could order anyone. That's what they did. They ordered him to come. So he was so realized in himself that it didn't matter to him. If somebody pulls him in this way, he'll go this way. Somebody pulls that way, he'll go that direction. For him, body has nothing to do with him. So they pulled him, brought him, and asked him to take one corner of the palanquin to carry. He was carrying the palanquin, and after a while, he was not carrying it properly, because he has put it on his shoulder, and while walking, he was looking on the ground, if there was any living entities going through. And he was so careful to put his feet so that he may not kill or any insect or any fly or anything like that on the road. Because of this, the other three were not looking at it. They were just wanted to get the job done. Whereas this Jaravarada was doing this. So the Jaravarada was being carried by like this, and the king was finding a little bit uneasy in the palanquin. So he got down from the palanquin, and there is a conversation between Raghugana, that was the king's name, and Janabharata. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, you will find that conversation very, very illuminating, very logical, and to make us more aware of the power of the soul within the body. That's what he has explained there. So before this happened, one day it happened in Calcutta. This incident happened in Calcutta, where the current Kali Ghat, there it was called the famous Kali Temple. That's where this incident happened. That there was one group of Kabaligas. Kabaligas means who performed the offer of human life to Kali. There were that kind of religionists there. And those people, they decided to offer a life, human life to Kali to please her. So at that time, when they wanted to offer, they got hold of someone, a young boy. They brought him and they wanted to offer him that night. So generally they have a system for the Kali Puja. Everything is red. The dhoti is red. The pujari wears the red dhoti. The garland is red. Even the sandalwood pulp they apply is also red. So it's all that Rajogunam is manifesting in them. And the evening, the pujari starts the worship. And by about 10, 11 o'clock, he has to continue. There's a lot of mantras to be chanted. And this whole process takes a long time. And by about 11, 12, the time for sacrifice comes. And up to that time, those who were holding this boy to be killed, they were holding him. They were feeding him nicely, keeping him happy so that he doesn't protest or run away. But they have locked him up. He couldn't go. But somehow or the other, he sensed that he's going to be sacrificed that night. Imagine that situation, that if you are told that tonight you're going to be sacrificed. So he was a young boy, did not know what to do, and he thought for a while. Somehow or the other, he managed to escape that night. He managed to escape, run away from there. In the Bhagavatam, Krishna quotes this in a different way. In the 11th canto, Ekadasha Skandam, Krishna mentions this. Aghadam niyamanasya vajyasyevana tushtidaham. Then Krishna says, if somebody is going to be hung in the morning, say sometimes, you know, these criminals, when they are going to be hung, the day before that, the evening, say for example, early hours in the morning, normally they are hung. Suppose somebody is hanged to death. They are condemned to death. They'll be hung in the morning. Of course, no capital punishment in this country now. But in India, capital punishment is, I think, still exists. It was there for all these years. And many, many people were hung in that way. So normally the system was, it will be done in the early hours in the morning. And the night before that, the person who is going to be hung, the judge who has condemned him to be hung, he will come and ask him that if he has any desire to eat anything nice or anything, if he can fulfill that desire, he knows that he is going to leave his body and he is responsible. The judge feels a little bit about it. So he goes and visits him and asks him if there is anything he can do or if he has any other last desire, last wish before his death. What would you think at that time he would say? Would he say that, look, I'll have a nice feast before I go? Or would he say, Krishna is saying this, Aghadam niyamanasya vadyasyevana tushtidaha. What will he say? He will say, can you do me a favor? Instead of doing that in the morning, can you finish it up right now? Why make it till tomorrow morning? Because you are not going to change the decision anyway. It's going to happen. Rather, me going through another 12 hours through this agony of that I'm going to, this anxiety in his mind all the time and worrying about it, rather let me get finished with it. Is it not? So, similarly, what I was saying was that Aghadam niyamanasya vadyasyevena tushtida. Krishna says how he will feel if somebody has decided that he is going to be hung. We are all sitting here now discussing this and thinking about it. But Krishna is asking Uddhava, tell me one thing. Is not all this lot kept for that slaughter one day? Is it not? Are we not also the same goats which are taken to the butcher to be slaughtered? Are we not sitting here and laughing, thinking that I am not going to be done? It's not going to happen to me. I am also in the same queue. In the same queue, one day, I'll be taken exactly like they are taken, and material nature will slaughter me. I'll be finished with this. I have to leave this body, which I have been thinking I am, or I am still thinking, and I'll still continue to think, and this body will be taken away from me. So, in order to make us aware of all these things, Srimad Bhagavatam is constantly repeating it again and again, to come to our senses and understand that this material body is to be given up at one point. So what did Jadabharata do? Jadabharata, at that time, when this was happening, this boy ran away from there, and they didn't have anyone to offer for sacrifice. The sacrifice has already started in the evening, 6, 7 o'clock they start, and it's by 11, 12 now, and there was none there to be sacrificed. Pujari was getting very upset. So what did he do? He said, I don't care, you get somebody. You have to get someone. Because I have already started and it has come to this stage now and it is time for offering, you have to find someone. So these people who are helping to do this sacrifice, they started going out looking for somebody. And for their good luck, they got this Jadabharata there, standing there. And when they looked at him, they found that he was even far better than the original goat whom they had for the sacrifice. They brought him, they held him, brought him, he says, come here, they said to him. He went along with them, not thinking anything. What is the fate there? They brought him up and kept him there. And then they said, bathe him nicely, because he was very dirty. Only they could see was this thread on his shoulder. And that too, so dirty it was, after years and years. Jadabharata was like that. He won't speak one word. They washed him, brought him up, and brought this in front of the Pujari. Pujari was very pleased seeing this personality. They kept him there. And then the the puja was coming to an end, Durga Devi at that time came out from inside. Normally pujari takes the head off. That was the system. But this time Durga Devi opened the deity room door and came out. Pujari thought, maybe my offering has pleased Durga Devi so nicely that is why she has come out herself this time. Not only that, she came out, she pulled the sword from Pujari's hand. Pujari thought maybe Durga Devi herself wanted to get the offering himself. This was going through Pujari's... You can see, read all this in the fifth canto in detail, verse by verse. But that's not... I was going to trace something more than that. That when she came out, first thing what she did, she took the head of the Pujari first. And then caught all of everyone else who was there. And she started to dance with all these heads as a garland she was wearing. And she has made a skirt from the hands of the people. And she was wearing that skirt. And her horrible form was manifested there at that time. And then she wanted to ask Jadabharata, because she knew who Jadabharata was, a devotee of Krishna. And there was no question of not respecting Durga Devi's Maya personified energy, material energy, Krishna's material energy. And material energy cannot play with a devotee of Krishna like Jadabharata. Such a highly elevated personality, already fixed up in Krishna consciousness. So what did she do? She went up to Jadabharata and asked him, what can I do for you? What can I do for you? This is what she asked him. And what was the reply from Jadabharata? Jadabharata says, did not say one word. Earlier you saw, with the parents, he wouldn't speak one word. Why? Because they don't know anything. They are totally ignorant. Ajnanis they are. No point in speaking to them. Here, Durga Devi is asking, he won't speak one word to her. Why? She is Sachidanandam, fully realized Krishna's material energy. What should I speak to her? You see, from either side, there was no need to talk. He kept quiet. Neither to the parents, nor to Durga Devi, he spoke. There was no need in talk, point in talking to Durga Devi. What is there to speak to Durga Devi? Durga Devi is the personality who puts obstacles all the way through in everyone's life. Material energy, Durgam, that fort is within we are. We are within that fort of Maya and suffering from that day and night, isn't it? And Maya has kept us extremely busy here. And we, as the servants of Durga Devi, are willing to function in the way she wants us to function. We have no desire to break away from that, nor we have the capacity to do that. So, but Jadabharata has broken away from that already. There was no question. He knew that nobody could touch him, nor he had the inclination to speak anything when it was not necessary. That Jadabharata, who did not speak to his parents, nor to Durga Devi, spoke to Rahugana. You see, Rahugana was a king who started firing Jadabharata for not carrying the palanquin properly. That's where he started firing him. He started telling him, do you know who I am? He says. Jadabharata didn't answer. Do you know who I am? He said. He didn't answer. Oh, he said, this fellow is very arrogant. He doesn't... I am the king speaking. He says, the king. I am king. What king? For him, Jadabharata, what king? King doesn't... For him, king, the everyone is the same for him as far as he is concerned. In that state of consciousness, he is there. So, there is a few verses where Rahugana is instructing Jadabharata about his realizations. Rahugana himself has no realization. He has learned a lot of things from the books. He has grabbed all kinds of knowledge from the books. He has studied very well, but he has no realization. You see, that was his problem. He has no realization at all. So he starts talking to Jadabharata about all his theoretical knowledge, what he has learned from the books. And just by hearing that, Jadabharata realized what his situation is. In other words, he knew, Jadabharata realized that Rahugana has knowledge. He has studied things, but he has a very strong bodily concept of life. Very strong bodily concept of life. He hasn't managed to come out of it. So he thought, if I talk to this person, it may be beneficial to him. That is what made him to speak to him. Otherwise he did not want to speak. Only when he knew that it is worthwhile talking to this person that he decided to speak to him. Why I am saying this is that our in our society, particularly the so-called learned people, they are saying that if all this what Krishna has spoken is true, let him prove it to us. First of all, let Krishna come and show us how the soul is functioning. And if our so-called university, professors or whoever, dean or whatever, that big men who are there, if they approve it, then we will certify, yes, you pass through the test. But Krishna is saying, and Jadavarada is saying here, that if it is worthwhile, we'll talk to you. In other words, they are still saying, we are not qualified to get instructed about it. That is why that Maya of Durga Devi will keep them under control for years and years before they can come to their proper senses. So here, Jadavarada decided to speak to Rehugana. Rehugana spoke a lot of things there. How does this soul works? And why I'm not getting any realization? This was the question what Rehugana asked Jadavarada. Why I have studied all these books, still I have no realization. Vinamahal padarajo abhishegam. Unless you have served a pure devotee of Krishna, wholeheartedly and sincerely, without His mercy, you will not understand yourself, what you are. Vinamahal padarajo abhishegam. Unless you take the dust from the feet of the devotee and sprinkle it on yourself and with humility approach that person and serve him, you will not understand your real identity. That is how he answered. And when he spoke that, at that time, Rehugana understood what was the shortcoming or what was actually lacking in him. It was not the books, it was not the knowledge that was lacking. He fell down in front of Jadavarada and touched and held his feet and asked for forgiveness. At that time, when he asked for forgiveness, there are certain things spoken in the Srimad Bhagavatam about it. And those verses, if you read, you will see that realizations coming one after the other from Jadavarada says about it that my dear king, he says to him, you are telling me that you are a king, aren't you? He says to Rehugana, because Rehugana threatened him with a lot of things. First he said, do you know what I'm going to do? What I got with me is this stick. And he said, I'll have to handle you with that. And Rehugana, there was no change in Jadavarada at any time when this was spoken. So that time, Rehugana thought for a while, because he was an intelligent king, he has studied also. He started thinking, why this person is acting like this? And it was then that he decided to come down from the palanquin and speak to him. And that is when Jadavarada decided to talk to him. So at that time, Rehugana said to him that I have decided to punish you if you do not change your mend your ways. And still Jadavarada won't say one word. So it is then that Rehugana said that I am the king and you are just like any one of my subjects. I can treat you with the way and punish you the way I like. He didn't say anything. So all these things were in Jadavarada's mind, what Rehugana has spoken. So when Jadavarada replied that, you know how he started the conversation? Ahambhura Bharado Nama Raja. In my previous lifetime, I was Emperor Bharada, he says. Emperor, not even a king. Emperor Bharada. As soon as Rehugana heard this, he got frightened. You know why? This Rehugana's father was a king under Bharada at that time. Emperor Bharada, who ruled the planet, Ahampura Bharado Nama Rajam. My dear king, in my previous lifetime, I am Emperor Bharada. Vimukta Drishta Sudha Bandham Sudha Sangha Sandha. That I have lost my vision in my life and due to a silly mistake I committed, I had to fall. I fall down from that position. Because otherwise, Bharata should have been back in the spiritual world, isn't it? Because he gave up his position as emperor and he went to Gandaki River and he was performing austerities and penances to self-realize. And he was close to the point, very close to the door of liberation. It was then that he fell down with the attraction to the deer and he fell down and he remembered that. And he says there, Aradhano Bhagavata Ihamano Mrugolbhava Mrugasanghaldhathartham. Aradhano Bhagavata Ihamano. How come I remembered that? How could I remember that? I got a dear body in my next life. And what happened in that dear body? Jalabharata says to Rahuvana, Aradhanam Bhagavata Ihamano Mrugolbhava Mrugasanghaldhathartham. That I became a deer because of my attachment to that deer. I got attached to the deer, I got this deer body. Not only that, because I have served Krishna in my life before, that knowledge has followed me, and even in that deer body, I was thinking about Krishna. This is what happened to him. Aradhanam Bhagavata Ihamano Mrugodbhava Mrugasanghaldhathartham. Then he says, Samasmrudir Mrugadehe Piviram. In my dear king, in that Samamasmrudir Mrugadehe Biviram, that in the body of that deer, I was remembering of my life as Emperor Bharata previously. Just imagine that I have to get a dog's body next life. And I'm thinking, oh, how I used to live in Lechmore Heath. Now I'm living in another house in Lechmore Heath as a dog. And I'm thinking, oh, I used to live in another house here in Lechmore Heath. Oh, what a nice life it was. Now, although I'm looked after and provide everything, still in that dog's body, I have to accept that what misery has followed. But I don't even have the memory of that I had this body before. But here, Jalabharata is saying, Sama Asmrudir Mrugadeho Bhivira. Why did this happen? Krishna Archana Prabhavo No Jahadi. That because I served Krishna with all my heart, that knowledge has followed me in my life. This is how he said. You see, there itself he says, Krishna Archana Prabhavo No Jahadi. If I have not served Krishna, that knowledge would not have followed me. Because that not followed me, that knowledge has followed me in this life also. I have learned how I have to act. Because just my one mistake I committed by going to the deer and picking it up, I had to go through another two more lifetimes. Isn't it? Two more lifetimes he had to accept. But now I have learned that from the very beginning, I will not talk to anybody, I will not develop any attachment to anyone. But I did not speak to her, to Durga Devi, nor did I speak to my parents. Because you have shown some sense of intelligence, some sense of spiritual understanding in life, and I know what your problem is, I have decided to talk to you. And that's why, that is how he delivered him from that situation. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, this Rahugana story is one of the most powerful spiritual messages there. And if you accept Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, you cannot accept any of the modern scientific conclusions as far as spiritual life is concerned. They are still doubting. Does the soul exist? Does the death exist? Does this exist? When we get the result after our test tube test, whatever we do, then we will decide whether it exists or not. So we spend our lifetime in this way. But Krishna consciousness, Krishna's instructions in the Bhagavad Gita is so clean and straight to those who are trying to advance on the spiritual path. They don't require any other instructions. Srimad Bhagavatam is full of these kind of devotees and their realizations. And when you read that, you can see, what will you realize? You will realize that Bhagavad Gita is absolute. What Krishna says in the beginning, Ascharya valpashyati kaschidenam. Some people are talking about this as if they see soul as amazing. Some people are saying, Ascharya valvadati. Some people are talking about the soul as amazing. And some people are saying, Ascharya valshrinvati. Some people are saying, soul, we have heard about it, it's amazing. And then Krishna says, nobody has heard, understood it, nobody has seen it, nobody has realized it. Only those people like Dhruva Maharaj and Jadavarada who have followed the process and they made it a success. All glory to Srila Prabhupada.